Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to welcome Prosperity Counseling and Wellness to the show. They are a local St. Louis-based therapy practice that specializes in substance abuse and general counseling. They offer group and individual therapy that is tailored to meet your needs. If you or a loved one is struggling with substance abuse or just feels like they need support, contact Prosperity Counseling and Wellness at 636-515-1230. You can find more information at their website at prosperitystl.com. If you're struggling out there or need somebody to talk to, reach out. Prosperity Counseling and Wellness, right here in St. Louis. Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com. This episode of Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Gigabit Rocks. Check it all out at gigabitrocks.com. They're one of the best online tools for meeting artists regionally and nationwide, and they want to help you plan your next tour. It's essentially a great tool for networking and linking up with artists all over the country, and then they can help you pack your next show in their city. So reach out on gigabitrocks.com. Check them all out on your social media, your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And whether you want a gigabit more or a gigabit less, one thing's for sure, Gigabit Rocks.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, y'all. This is Matt Wynn.
And Tim Bauer.
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast. Why so angry?
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Matt Wynn and Tim Bauer.
You looked at the opposite person when you introduced this. You're like, you looked at me and you're like, Tim Bauer. And you looked at him and you're like, Matt Wynn. I love it.
Well, I'll do for a day.
All right.
Yeah, people, you know, that's a little behind the curtains. You know, they don't know those secrets.
It just made me laugh.
Man, this is cool because like, we haven't. I saw you guys not too long ago. We talked the show, but we haven't done a show together. You guys haven't been on the podcast.
Not for a while.
Let's see, September 29th, 2015. I posted your last appearance.
Almost 2 years to the day.
Yeah, been a little while.
Wow.
So. It's definitely cool to catch up and get to hang out. I mean, we got a lot of things going on. We got a brand new EP available and all this fun stuff. So,
yeah.
Like I said, I saw you guys a couple weeks ago. We hung out at the St. Paul picnic over there.
St. Paul picnic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The kind of release of the physical copies, I guess, the release show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun, man. It was a good afternoon, beautiful weather. And it was just fun to get to catch up with you guys because I hadn't seen you guys play in quite a while.
It had been a minute, really, since I've seen you at all.
Right.
The time you spend in Nashville and the time we play out of town.
Right.
You know, the opportunity's kind of short.
Yeah, you guys spent most of the summer at the lake and stuff, playing gigs down there when you had a chance. And
the Ozarks and then several other, you know, places, but, you know, a few times in Illinois and beyond there,
right.
And several other parts, like farther out in Missouri,
Getting the taste of that road life.
Yeah, and I was other places. I played in Nashville and a few other places in Tennessee, and took a trip up to North Carolina. It was a great summer. It was busy, really busy, but it was great.
Mm-hmm. So we mentioned the picnic. That was kind of the release party of in a sense to get start getting the record out there that day, yeah. And a lot of people picked up. Actually, it was cool. I had a cool moment. Obviously it was kind of a hometown crowd, yeah, for you. But I had a gentleman come up to me, and he's like, "Who is this guy?" And I was like, "Oh, it's Matt Wynn." And he's from around here. And I was like, "Yeah, he's got a CD up there." And he's like, "And I think you just played someone in a small town."
Oh yeah,
Flint Hill. Uh-huh. A little bit, and he was like, and the guy's like, "I'm from Flint Hill," and I'm like, "Well," so anyway, it was so he heard all that story, and then he went up there and bought one of your records. So like, I thought that was cool, like not knowing you and only heard a couple songs, but he wanted to support that you were somebody, yeah, from his town and stuff. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really a cool thing.
Yeah,
I just thought it was funny that I'm sitting there with my mom, and then people like then they come and ask me about you, and I'm like. Yeah. I happen to know, but it's like,
why are you asking me?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the answer you want.
Yeah.
You just look like you know what's going on.
I guess so. Shane. I mean, I was singing along and dancing and stuff. But
yeah.
I feel like it happens to me in grocery stores.
Yeah.
Because I used to work at one, so I walk around one like I know what I'm doing, and I get stopped by people that ask me questions. And it's like, yes, I happen to know the answer to your question, but why aren't you asking me?
Yeah. My work uniform is like a blue shirt. So if I ever go to Walmart after
work, Best Buy, yeah. Must have a Best Buy if you're wearing a blue polo.
All right, everybody's like, "Hey, do you know where?" I'm like, "I don't work here, man." Like, I'm just like, right.
That's awesome,
yeah, man. But that was like I said, that was a great afternoon, and it was just cool seeing everybody, dancing and singing along to work and having a good time that afternoon with you guys and picking up a bunch of your CDs, man. That was
thanks, man.
That's got to feel real good to get those finally out there. And
it's been a long time coming. So, I've been in the process and working on it for like a year or so. I mean, maybe longer.
Longer than that, because I know when the last time we were on this show, we were talking about working on a new album.
Oh, man.
That was 2 years ago. I mean, that was before.
Yeah,
before you had gotten.
Well, that was actually we did that with. I did that with Mike.
That was with Mike. Yeah, with Mike Krinsky.
Which we did remaster some of the other stuff and then put a couple new songs down. Yeah. And kind of did a limited release of that for a couple parties and stuff that we were doing. But I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, remember? This is I guess probably been like a year. It's probably been like a year, year and a half.
Oh gosh,
it's probably like a year and a half that I've been working on it. And if you count when I started with Bucket List, then I didn't really know that I was working on it at the time. Mm-hmm. I just was singing a song for somebody in a demo, and then it kind of turned into. It was kind of a test run with the guy that I was doing it with because he wrote that song. Everything else in the record I wrote, but that one was kind of sentimental because it was the first song that I ever had demoed or been in like a big studio in Nashville before, and in with like a legit producer that was like successful and stuff, So we did that. It was kind of a trial run, and then I was kind of like, hey, I want to do an EP. Would you be interested in doing it with me? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. So we ended up working really well together, and I'm going to see him next week again, and we still get together and write and work together and stuff. But it took a while between it really wasn't the recording of the songs that really took that long. It was more the everything else, the paying for it, the process of getting everything designed, which took a little bit, photo shoots, the specifics of everything. It was the first time I had really done something on that scale, and it was all, just up to, you don't have a team to do that stuff for you at this level, so you kind of just do it yourself and figure out as you go. So that kind of took a while just to kind of figure all that stuff out. So, you know, as a result, I'm really, really, really happy to finally have it out and just have something that represents me well.
Yeah,
I think.
For sure, yeah, it's a great collection of songs, and I feel like, like I said, they do feel represent you well. There's a little bit of everything on there, a couple different sides of what you have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what you guys are pushing as the single right now, right? American Gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's kind of that's the Turner Upper one.
Definitely,
that is the Turner Upper on the album.
Yeah, that's the one that makes you want to roll on your windows and crank it up and fly down the highway,
yeah.
kind of song. Which is, you know, I've had,
or drink a beer if you're not driving your car.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
and listening to the song.
Well, yeah, some places I'm sure they do both, but we don't encourage that though.
Yeah, that the first song on the EP. I feel like it's a great start to get you fired up about the rest of the stuff. But let's talk about American Gold. How this come to be writing this tune and stuff?
That was, I think, the third song that we wrote, that I wrote on the record, and that we recorded. It was kind of funny. It was an idea I came in with. I was like, man, American Gold, you know, the idea of beer being like the American, you know, American Gold, because this country is so beer oriented, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, especially in the country area where we come from, you know, it's just like beer. That's just mm-hmm. what it is. And I have a big passion for supporting military and veterans and kind of just the everyday guy that you kind of forget about. And initially I came in the idea of the beer thing, but that the military aspect, you know, kind of leaked in there. And I always like to have something on, you know, a collection, like if I do a record or anything that represents that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one that was, and it kind of turned into an anthem for the everyday guy, the coal miner, the military, the guy that's just busting his back, you know, to breaking his back, I guess, to busting his butt, breaking his back to provide for the country and for his family. And that was the one that was really cool. It kind of just came together. Like, it wasn't one that was like took a wild ride. It just was all of a sudden just came together, and we were like, man, we got something cool here.
Pot on, blows a kiss to his kids, hugs his wife as he sits so long. Feels the gravel kick up as he pulls out the drive, talks to the Lord, just praying to survive another day in the life of a man in the old coal mine. Just one more story that goes untold, another hero's tale that never gets old. Buy that man some American gold, serve it up to a nice us, the truth be told, yeah, we just struck American gold. Yeah, wakes up early in a foreign land, misses his wife, but he ain't the same. Yes, it's his job, but he looks as he takes a stand. Goes on patrol as he drives a Humvee. Up his life to protect you and me. Goes to hell and back again just to keep us free. Just one more story that goes untold, another hero's tale that never gets old. Give that man some American gold. He puts his first and himself on hold. He deserves the best that this country can give. He works hard so that we can play. On the line every day, never complains.
That vocal on the record is the scratch vocal. That's I didn't go in and recut that. Again, I went one time through.
Nice.
And then we got it cut. And so it was kind of cool the way that there was something bigger at work, it felt like, on that one.
Yeah.
And I think that song's going to be, I don't know, there's something special about it for me.
I like that, like, you know, like you're saying, how it kind of started about the beer. Like, you know, it's in the lyrics there and stuff, and like, pour that man some American Gold. But then, like you're saying, I love the way like the song can like kind of keep the same chorus, but like take on different meanings. So it's like,
yeah.
So then the second time it's like, mm-hmm. pin some American Gold on his chest and like,
yeah.
And that kind of stuff. So there's, I mean, there's, it's, you know, it just, I think it's fun to where, you know, you kind of go, the chorus, all the lyrics stay the same there in the chorus, but like they take on different meaning, mm-hmm. every time. So
mm-hmm. I had no part in writing that song, but I've always loved choruses that are tailor-made,
yeah.
to the verse that preceded them,
right?
Yeah,
where it can achieve the same feel, the same rhyme, just slight tweaks and stuff, just mm-hmm. to give each chorus its own flavor. To mm-hmm. you know, it's a way to keep a song flowing like a story all the way through. I've always,
yeah.
appreciated that, and I think that's the first time I heard that song when you played it for me in your car.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, that rocks. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I fell in love with it right away.
Is that the? I always heard that's the test. Is go put it in your car and crank it up and see how it sounds. And
it definitely is.
Yeah,
You know, even if you don't have it mixed, you know, which we definitely didn't at that time.
It was like,
we just had a guitar riff and a song.
Yeah, it says, like, you have to email that to me because I have to learn that riff.
Yeah, it's one that we've played with a few other people, like a band at the release show, and mm-hmm. and people just kind of get obsessed with it. You know, just for a lot of reasons. But it just kind of came together, and I wrote that actually with Dennis Deering, the guy that produced and recorded this record, and he was a huge part. He's so good at so many things, but he's really cool at like throwing, when I've come in with an idea or a melody or something, throwing a different twist on it that I didn't necessarily see, and that one of that was the pin at his chest with American Gold. He brought that in, and I was like, man, what a cool thing. And it's kind of, honestly, it's kind of in the writing world, in the really Nashville, but especially the writing world in general, it's kind of dangerous to have revolving choruses, just because you kind of sometimes lose the audience. And if you do it, you have to do it really, you have to do it in a certain way, and in the right way. And I think that we got it on this one, luckily. I always love doing that, but I know that it's a risk because people want that mindless repetitiveness, not having to think. But this one's so subtle, though, that you almost wouldn't notice if you weren't listening.
Yeah.
That it changes.
You get lost in that guitar riff. And it's,
yeah.
Just,
yeah.
Is there somebody singing?
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's, you know, it's almost, you almost lose it. You know, it changes a little bit. Shoot, mm-hmm. sometimes I've caught myself singing it and I didn't, I lose it.
That's one of those ones where it may be a little little higher than you're used to singing.
Yeah.
And you were saying the other day where you don't really pay attention too often when you're writing a song and thinking about, I may have to play this live someday.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I can go in, you know, I have a pretty, you know, wide range of what I can do vocally. And that's a good thing, but it's also a blessing and a curse, you know. So, I mean, because you can go out and if you're healthy, sure, even if you're healthy, it's tough to do. But if you're, like, sick at any point, you know what I mean, or
allergies.
Not feeling great, allergies, which I definitely have allergies, you know.
Well, so you're thinking, man, maybe I should have done that song in a different key.
Yeah, but it just doesn't have the cut that it has an E, you know. Like, even we've put it down a half step, we've done that, you know, before, and things, and that works, you know, but it just doesn't have the same cut to it. And actually, honestly, the more that I do it, the easier it gets for me to be able to do it. My voice gets used to it and accustomed to it, because there was a lot of the songs on this record, honestly, we because it took so long to make the record that we weren't playing out a whole lot. Like, every now and again we play certain songs, but, like, for example, Somebody in a Small Town, the title track of this record, there was a long period where I never really played it out live, which is weird. Usually I take a song I wrote and I go out and play it several times and kind of evolve it. But that was one that I wrote and I had a riff to, and then we went in and pretty much cut it and built around this little riff and this little in the lyrics and the melody, and then I never really went out and played it a whole lot. Now it's one that we probably play almost more than any of them. Just because it is a cool feel and people kind of request it if they know the story behind it. So there was a few times though that people requested it and we were like, "How's this go?"
And we had to figure it out on the spot.
Sure. Well, that one features the little crowd participation in it too.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. Thankfully, we do have a handful of fans that if they are at the show, they know their part.
Right.
Yeah. There's definitely some good crowd participation in that one. That's one that Somebody in a Small Town, that's one that I'm definitely proud of personally to write. I remember when I wrote that with my friend Ashley Taylor, which she's a co-writer, I think, on four of the songs in this record. And me and her write together a lot, and she's a good friend and a very, very talented writer. We click very well together. We've written some amazing songs. One that we're going to play later, actually, I wrote with her live. I remember me and her wrote this one, and it was late. I mean, I think we finished at like 2 a.m. We just got home late and we're writing, and it just turned into something cool. And I wanted to write something that was true to my town and, you know, that was something different on the record that it needed. And I think we really nailed it. And personally, and I know everybody from Flint Hill, and you know, especially really loves it.
Sure,
and surrounding areas.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that's fun. I got my buddy Joe Bazzelli. You know, he wrote a song about New Melly and stuff.
Yeah, I know
and,
Joe.
Yeah, and it's just that same kind of thing. It's just cool. I feel the same way when George Thorogood wrote "Back to Wentzville," and like, you know, just fun to hear songs about your hometown. Like, you know, it's like you know, George is singing about going out to Chuck Berry's house to party and stuff. You know, he says, cruising Highway Z in my Coupe de Ville and, you know, cruising right by where I live at. So I was like, you know, it's just fun to hear songs that you can, especially if you're from that town or you may even just know a song or a town like that, you know, that small country town like that. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it's just cool to hear that kind of, and also kind of like, I feel like a lot of that, like those songs kind of just paint a picture of, like, you can kind of start imagining in your head, like what this small towns like and stuff. So
that's what I really try to do with a lot of the songs that we write. Is so you can see it. Those are all the best songs, honestly. Is that you can see it in your head. You can picture it. Everyone has a different picture, right? But if you know, you can see it. Those first couple lines are so important in a song to set a scene right away. And that song in particular, within the first couple lines, I think, for me at least, it painted a picture and I could see where I was and where, you know, where it was, you know, that you're describing. And it's so important in the crafting of the songs to do that. And, you know, otherwise, you know, because you only have short amount of time to hook people on what you're doing. Yeah. And that's one of the keys to do it.
Sure, man. You said you also wanted to share a tune, Dear Johnny Cash, and this was also wrote with Ashley, right?
Yeah, I wrote that one with Ashley, too. Yeah. Me and Ashley, like I said, we go back, and she's a special person, for sure, and she's a very, very great writer, and for, you know, some people just click, you know, writing-wise, personally, too, but especially writing, you know, you get in the room, and there was, for whatever reason, when we got in the room from the very first time we wrote, we just really clicked, and, she's somebody that I respect very much, especially as a writer, as a human being. But
she just had a birthday.
Happy birthday! Yeah, she just had a birthday. Happy birthday, Ashley. I texted her,
I forgot to text her. I'm sorry, Ashley.
I'm bad with that. Like, I texted her late. Like, it was not like, and I'm always late. There's no surprise. Anyone that knows me, I'm always late. I hate that, but I'm working on it. I really am. I swear I am. But like, that is definitely one thing that I always need to work on. Tim is cracking up because he knows it's true.
Yep.
I usually make it. You know what I mean? Like, to whatever I'm trying to do, whether I'm playing, whether I'm, you know, an appointment or whatever, I usually make it in time. But it's close. Like, I mean, like, it is close. Even me, I'm like freaking, you know, I'm just like, whoa. But anyway, I was late. You know, it was like 11:15 p.m. or something. I texted her and
I've got 45 minutes.
I think she knows me well enough now that like, that's not.
He got it on the day.
Because I don't love her. Yeah, I think she probably is more happy that I even text her on the day. Usually I'm bad with dates like that anyway,
right.
I just am. I just am bad at that stuff, you know, and you know, but I mean, the fact that I luckily was able to, you know, get it to her in time, and I hope that she's not too mad, because I love her dearly.
Yeah.
She's like a sister to me.
Well, as I get older, I relate more and more to Will Ferrell in Old School, when he's like going,
"You my boy, Blue."
There's the part where he's going through like the breakup with his wife or whatever, and she's like, "Oh, I forgot to call you on your birthday." And he's like, "It was my birthday."
Yeah,
I'm like, "You forgot your own birthday." and that's how I feel sometimes.
Like, I'm just so bad.
Yeah.
With the dates, like the of like birthdays and stuff, like just, like even some
just
of my
time in general,
right.
Yeah, sure, thanks, Tim. I'm just bad at that. I just am, and I love so many people. Like I'm very close with, but like I will eventually tell you happy birthday,
yeah,
or get back to you or whatever it be, you know. But
I mean, the cutting it last minute, getting to shows is, I mean, the excitement and adrenaline rush of getting ready is what powers me through some of those gigs. So it does have a positive side.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does. And I'm not like that every time. Like, right. I mean, like, I, you know, a lot, but definitely a lot, but I'm not like that every time. You know? Oh, sorry. But, yeah, I just, everyone's got stuff that, sure, they got to work on, and that's definitely one that,
yeah,
I think people, you know, would rather me not do. There's a lot. I think there's a lot that I think I'd rather not do.
I've said what I want to say.
All right.
But anyway, happy birthday, Ashley.
Yeah.
So
like I said, you got Dear Johnny Cash, and then,
yeah,
and this is fun. I mean, anybody that's like, especially a big Johnny Cash fan, it's kind of fun to count how many references are in there.
Yeah,
because there's a bunch of them.
I'm glad you noticed that.
Yeah,
because
some people don't.
No, yeah, I mean, yeah, you'd have to be a really big Johnny Cash fan to get some of them, and that's kind of how I like to write sometimes. Sure. And me and Ashley, actually, in particular, a lot of songs I've written with her, we try to put hidden things in there for the people that do know a lot about those things.
Yeah.
That's great, but if you don't, it'll still work. Like, you it would just flow. Like, there's like almost all the, throughout the whole song, especially in the chorus, there's the biggest Johnny Cash songs, you know, How'd You Walk the Line, Brought Your Life Together One Piece at a Time,
yeah,
Find a Love Like June, Boy Named Sue, you know, the list goes on and on.
dressed in black, running from a crazy past, wondering how long this will last. 'Cause every time I run from the fire, them flames, they just get higher, and I can't help but feel pretty tired. 'Cause most people don't know who I am, and the rest don't understand, so I thought that I'd ask you. So how did you walk the line, even though it's hard sometimes? You brought your life together one piece at a time. We'll find a love like June, be called a boy named Sue, and go from Folsom to a church pew. Oh well, I could use some advice to help me through this crazy life. And I know you can't ride back, but I just thought I'd ask, dear Johnny Cash. Yeah, oh yeah. Seen Sunday morning coming down, I feel the hurt all around, looking through the mirror, staring at the truth. We all go through hard times, but I can't wait till the end of mine. I stand tall on my knees till the storm blows through. 'Cause most people don't know who I am, and the rest don't give a damn. So I thought that I'd ask you, yeah. Sometimes you brought your life together one piece at a time, yeah. And find a love like June, be called a boy named Sue, or go from Folsom to a church pew. Oh well, I could use some advice to help me through this crazy life. And I know you can't ride. How'd you walk the line, even though it was hard sometimes? You brought your life together one piece at a time. Find a love like June, be called a boy named Sue, and go from Folsom to a church pew. Yeah, I could use some advice to help me through this crazy life. And I know you can't ride back, but I just thought I'd ask, dear Johnny Cash. Yeah, oh yeah, Johnny Cash. Oh. Dear Johnny Cash.
You know, in the, even in the first verse, you know, Ring of Fire, I mean, you know, we kind of throw a lot of them, and we me and Ashley are really both very big Johnny Cash fans, and for not, and for me, you know, in particular, and I know, I think it's the same for Ashley, but you know, I'm a big, I've always been a big fan of his music, you know, that's one thing, but you know, I think I'm an even bigger fan of the person sure. behind it, because of the fact that he just completely changed his life mm-hmm. around for the better.
And there's not a ton of people like that that have done that. Like, I'm a Christian, and, you know, Catholic, you know, me and Tim both are, and it's a big part of our lives. And the fact that he just went from, you know, a drug addict to adulterer, you know, whatever it may be, he did it all, right? And but he went back, and it, actually a lot of people don't know, towards the end of his life, he became a minister. And started preaching to people, and I, in my opinion, who better to preach than the guy who's been there and done it all, and saying that, you know, this is where he's found the most fulfillment in his life. And I just think, what a cool story, and that's what I've always respected about Johnny Cash.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of been one of my hang-ups about that movie they did, Walk the Line, about him, was that, like, yeah, I get it's entertainment, you know, but like, it kind of, and the same thing with the Ray Charles movie, they both kind of focused on a lot of the women and the drugs and all that kind of stuff. They didn't really kind of get into both of those guys made a world of difference in the later in their years. I mean, they definitely had some rough times in the middle, but you know, both of them did a lot of gospel music and everything else too. And, like, you know, so obviously, I guess that's probably not the Hollywood ending that people wanted to see in on the movies. But I think, you know, like you're saying, he's got a great story about his life, and even those songs, like you're saying, how learning so much from these songs, like as a person and stuff, you know, kind of want to be able to talk to Johnny and ask about these things.
Yeah, well, it was the idea of writing a letter to Johnny Cash, knowing that he will never answer it, right? Because he's passed away, you know. But it, you know, it comes from the standpoint of not only a struggling musician trying to quote unquote make it, you know, because he kind of, you know, did the impossible in a lot of ways. What he did musically, you know, is just unbelievable, and the legacy that he left behind. And it's like, how'd you do that? Like, how'd you, you know, do all that stuff? How did you, and then it, not only a struggling musician standpoint, but a struggling just person in general, going through this life and this industry.
Yeah.
And it's like, how'd you keep who you were? How'd you turn everything around? Asking all those questions that only Johnny Cash could answer.
It's also one of my favorite part in the movie, speaking of, like, kind of relating to him. But there was that scene, and I don't know how accurate it is, but it's a great great scene in the movie where he's going to audition, and he wears wears the black shirt, and she says, you know, you look like you're going to a funeral, and maybe I am.
I am.
And it's like, it's a great line, and always related to that. But, you know, it's that thing, you know, he's like, even Johnny Cash was nervous about going to this audition. You know, it's like, you know, could be good, could be the end of it. So
Johnny Cash became Johnny Cash.
Right.
At first, he was just a man. You know what I mean? He was just Johnny Cash, and before he was Johnny Cash. You know, and that's the thing that people forget. You know, is that everybody starts somewhere, and every legend has a beginning, and you know, they started out, the more that you're around, especially being in Nashville, for me, the people I've met and the people I've worked with and stuff, just in my standpoint, you know, the more you're around them and the more that you come in contact with those people, you realize they're just people.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're just people just like you. They started in wherever they were, you know, and just like you were, and had nothing to offer.
For sure,
and then, then something took off and did what it did. But, you know, you almost, you know, I know it's easy to look at someone like that and be like, oh my gosh, it's like they're a higher being, right? They're not really a real thing. But, like, you know, they'll tell you themselves, most of them, you know, will tell you themselves, you know, it's like, I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy that did, you know, or a girl that ran with something that I love to do. And it turned into something bigger than they could ever imagine.
Right. Yeah, exactly, man.
So
you mentioned your faith, and you kind of wrote about it in a song called Hey God.
Yeah.
Kind of touching on a little more softer side of this EP, especially kind of show a little different side of what Matt Wynn does and stuff. And but yeah, I mean, you want to share any stories around this
man.
Song?
And you're good, man. You ask good questions. You're good, man.
Shane comes prepared.
I know. I mean, like, all the best interviewers, like, for me personally, whether it be radio, you know, TV. Anything that I've experienced personally, all the best ones are one step ahead of whatever they know what they're going to ask, you know, kind of general idea before they ask it.
I mean, I've done like 470 or whatever of these.
You're pretty good.
I'm starting to get the hang of it a little bit.
I mean, you've done about 450 since the first time we were on this program.
That was episode
14.
I think it was 14.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
Man. God, so time flies.
We've all come a long way.
Yeah.
It's not about the time, Matt.
Yeah. Oh my, wow. One of the things, I want to share this real quick. One of the things that Tim loves to do is because I'm just as big of a songwriter as I am a singer, an artist. You know, it's a big part of me and what I do is the writing portion too. And I write a lot. Like in the last couple of years, I've written hundreds of songs, like literally hundreds of songs. And it's just a big part of the town of Nashville. It's a big part of me. I love to write. And Tim loves to quote songs that I wrote to me and use them against me in whatever I'm doing. And one of them that he uses most often is a song I wrote called "It Ain't About the Time." And I've gotten good, and I've been using them back at
him. You've been clapping back.
Yeah, and he's just like, and Tim's just like, dang it, I should have seen that coming.
I'm teaching you well, that's all it is.
Teach you well. Well, I do.
The student has become the master.
Wax on, wax off.
Hey, how's it going? I have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for men like you.
There's a very special recording of that out somewhere that maybe someday will be released.
Oh, God, yeah. Me and my buddy Mark.
When this goes up.
Me and my buddy Mark wrote a song. It's a really very nice song, very, you know, very serious, you know, song.
But let's just say there's a cut of it out there with Kermit singing it instead of Matt Wynn.
Yeah, and it's, my buddy Mark, he plays with Tyler Farr. And we wrote this song, and there's a ridiculous recording of us just singing it like Kermit the Frog. And it's one that maybe if it will see the light of day, everyone I've shown it to has been rolling on the floor laughing.
It's one of the best things I've ever heard.
It was one of those things that kind of just happened, and we didn't really know what we were doing. And it'll probably come back to haunt me. one way or the other, it'll probably get out. It'll be great. But you asked about Hey God. Yeah. I got off on a tangent.
That's what this show is good for.
Yeah, we love hanging out with you, Shane, like, and just shooting the breeze. But Hey God is a song that I was telling you guys about. Is a special song for a lot of reasons. You write songs that, you know, all of them are personal, you know, but there's some that are personal to you and kind of your story and specific to your life and what you're going through at the moment. And this was one particular for me that was. And I think everybody's in their life has got, one or two times where they really get their heart broke. This was my really big one, especially like really my first really, really experience of really loving somebody, someone you were in a relationship with, a girl, and you got to have at least one breakup tune or one love song or record, and this was it. And this was a big, big thing because it was my personal thing.
The Taylor Swift rule.
Yeah, the Taylor Swift. The Taylor Swift 101 ways to be successful.
Get your heart broken. Sell music.
All right.
Yes. this is the process, and I had to T Swizzle taught me that. I had to throw that in there. You know, but for real though, like this was one that I wrote. I was just so broken at the time. It turned out to be the best thing, right? You know, that happened as things do. You know, and it was what was supposed to happen, but I was so broken about it. And the way that things happened, and you know, with this particular relationship, and I was saying that I, you know, my faith is a big part of who I am, And when I'm broken, you know, or really in my life in general, but especially when you're broken, you don't really know what to do. And I go to God and I say, you know, and that's kind of how I like a lot of times when I pray or when I, you know, I'm talking to God, I, you know, I say, hey, God, it's me. And I kept doing that so often because I was going through something really big. I kept saying, hey, God, hey, God, hey, God, because, like, you know, just begging, you know, something is going to happen and that, you know, maybe someone isn't going to come back into your life, but you still hope for it and pray for it anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the best, you know, prayers are the unanswered ones, but at the time, you know, you'd almost do anything to make that happen or something to go back to what it was. And this was that song for sure. And I was so broken and I was just like, man, I need to write something. I need to do something, take this what I'm feeling, this negative, and turn it into a positive. And that's how a lot of times with songs, I'll try to do that. If I'm feeling something that's breaking me, I try to put it into something bigger than me, which is a song, you know. I wrote it and I started to write it and I didn't really know where to take it. I had a chorus or I had a verse and a few other little things in here and there, and I didn't really know where to take it. And this was a big personal thing in my milestone in my life, and I figured out a lot who I was through this relationship and this song and what I wanted, you know, which was all good. And it really gave me a lot of fuel to keep on pushing on my dream. I definitely got a lot even more focused after that. But it was also a big thing in my writing career, in my music career too, because this was like the first thing. This was like a big song. Like, I've been writing for a long time since I was a teenager, you know, early teens, and pushing a lot in that regard. But I hadn't really gotten to that point where I wrote something that I was just like, man, like, this is better than anything I've ever written, right?
All right.
You know, in a commercial sense and also in just a sense of writing a song.
Hey, God, can you hear me? 'Cause I've been praying for some time now, but this is killing me. Hey, God, can you help me out? 'Cause even though she ain't been gone long, I sure miss her now. And I may be wrong for thinking so, but hey, God, could you let me know if this life I'm gonna live is without her? 'Cause when she's gone, I just can't see a world that has a place for me. A future without her don't seem worth living. 'Cause I just can't go on like this, longing to hold her again. And I know you've got a plan, but I'm asking, hey God, hey, would you mind leading her back again? I've been running for some time now, but I'm still stuck right here. And I may be wrong for thinking so, but hey God, could you let me know if this path I'm heading down is the right one? 'Cause when she's gone, I just can't see a world that has a place for me. A future without her don't seem worth living. I just can't go on like this, longing to hold.
And this was the one for me that really put it to a point where I was like, this is, I need to be doing this. I need to be writing this. I need to be writing songs. I need to be, pushing really hard on that front because it's something that I'm good at. But I learned a lot through this song because it was my first real professional co-write with somebody, and I wrote it with me and my friend who produced this record, Dennis Deering, and recorded it. He's a vet, and he's played for tons of big acts and done all sorts of crazy studio work and has his own studio in Nashville, and he's a pro. He took it, and I remember we were writing it, and it was such a personal song to me, so sometimes it's hard to let go of something so personal and not let it, you know, maybe become something that you didn't necessarily expect it to be. And I remember we were writing it, and he started changing some stuff, and I was like, kind of like, I didn't know what to do. And he was like, man, he goes, you're doing great. You like it? And I'm like, yeah, I think so. You know, and he was like, man, I know it's hard to have someone come in and kind of tear apart, you know, some of the stuff of the song, especially something that's so close to you, isn't it? And I was like, yeah, it is. But it was a big, big milestone for me in my writing career, because that was something that I showed people probably for the first time that I had written, where everyone was kind of just like, wow, like, you got something good there. You got something that was, you know, this is a big step for you. And that was one that was for not only personally, but as a writer. It's a personal one. It always will be for me.
For sure, man. Well, like again, we said, we got physical copies of this record, Flint Hill EP, available right now at shows. Digital release on the way.
Yes.
And we're hoping for a big rollout for that, right?
Definitely.
Some kind of big party or something?
Yeah, we're going to definitely do a big party and probably like a release show of the digital, because it's just a digital world and that's the way it is now. But like I said, it was just me getting this song, getting this record off the rails, and it's been a process of me being able to do that. So I'm kind of learning as I go. We just decided to do the physical stuff first because I just wanted to get it out there and get it available and get people listening to it and excited about it. And now I'm at the point where I can kind of figure out how to do the physical or the digital stuff appropriately and better, and to make it the best that it can be. We're going to do that very soon.
Yeah.
So make sure you like us on Facebook so you can get all necessary updates.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's at Matt Wynn Music, WYNN. You can usually find our we'll post gigs and where we're playing and stuff on there, but usually we'll also post it on our website, mattwynnmusic.com. If it has all our booking info on there, so if you did want to book us for something, you can find all the necessary means to contact me and us on there.
Yeah. You said off mic earlier you got a bunch of weddings and personal parties and all kinds of different things. So
definitely
whatever you need some music for.
And actually, that's some of the most fun stuff to do too.
Yeah.
Getting a personal or private parties or just playing for people or private events, because you can be very personal with the people that you're playing for and meet some really interesting but some really cool people. And
definitely.
It's nice having that. A much more human touch to a show.
Oh, definitely.
Than setting up in the corner.
Especially later in the year, like this, that majority of like the stuff that we'll be doing from like October to like January or whatever is like private parties and weddings and different stuff like that. Just because that's a lot of people will be doing that stuff, and that's like a lot of the opportunities they're presented there to play. Because a lot of other stuff starts slowing down. As far as like bars and different things, business isn't as steady. Sometimes it is, some depending on where you go, but a lot of the stuff we play towards the end of the year is like private stuff. And
October rolls around and St. Louis loses some outdoor venues for whatever reason.
I know the reason.
But it was cool that you got. I mean, like you said, we got the EP, and we're excited about that. But it's just great to see that you guys aren't slowing down at all. I mean, you've already got another batch of songs for the next thing and stuff. And you wanted to kind of leak one that you are working on. This is an exclusive here.
Yes, a Rock Paper Podcast exclusive.
You guys are out of control. You're out of control. This is wow.
In the best way possible, you're out of control. But yes, we do. We have a song that we're going to kind of leak. We've been playing a lot out at shows, and people have been really enjoying it. And I know for me personally, I think Tim too, that I really enjoy playing.
It's a fun song to play. Yeah,
sure. You know, it's cool because you can kick off shows with it. Depending on where you're at, you can just throw it in the middle. It doesn't even really matter where it is. It's just one that sticks out. And it's called My Favorite Love Song. And another one I wrote with Ashley, just me and her. And like I said, we write really well together. And this was an idea that we just, you know, we brought forward, and we were like, man, let's write something like upbeat and fun and just really commercial but well written. And this was what we came up with. Yeah.
Sounds great. This is the live little acoustic version we did here in the living room. So I'm sure whenever we get to that point, putting on a record, going to have a little more to it, but it sounded killer right here. And
At least a drummer too.
Yeah.
Yes. At least a drummer.
But yeah, man, it sounds
drummer's
awesome.
Drummer's been a funny thing for us.
Yeah. We kind of glazed over it a little bit, Emma, but you're talking about being in Nashville and, you know, writing a lot with Ashley down there and, you know, these other people that you've met and stuff. I mean, is that the goal? I mean, do you want to get these songs out there and, you know, I mean, is this going to start selling some of these songs? Or are you, I mean, do we want to get, obviously, I guess the big goal is get yourself on some of these songs. And but, I mean, is that also an option to get a publishing deal or do
what they're doing? Definitely. And in a way that Nashville, especially country music, but especially Nashville works, you know, you kind of, a lot of ways into the door as an artist is through writing. You know, it's just the way that's set up.
I mean, a lot of guys like even Brantley Gilbert was writing for a long time. Now he's selling out arenas by himself. It's like it's kind of crazy how that guy's career took off. But yeah, it just started as a writer and sold a couple songs to some guys and Florida Georgia Line too. Those guys all started as writers and you know now they're again one of the biggest acts in the world and. But yeah,
hell, even Luke Bryan. Even Luke Bryan did it. He wrote "Good Directions" by Billy Currington. Which was a massive hit. Charles Kelly wrote, you know, songs for other people. He wrote "Do I" by Luke Bryan. Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of people. You can name them wave after wave after wave of people just getting in the door through that writing aspect. Even people that aren't necessarily heavy writers, you know, like Luke or other people, you know, they write, you know, but they don't always write, you know. You know, that's just a way in the door. There's sometimes when you're in a room with somebody writing, you're doing a lot more than just writing. You're building a relationship with people, and that's what relationships are really what carry you through. You know, talent is one thing, and that's going to help you definitely if you're talented. But I know there's a lot of circumstances where if you can just be somebody's friend and build a relationship with somebody, it'll take you places.
Yeah.
They'll remember that. And I've been fortunate to make some relationships and work with some people that are really successful. Like a friend of mine, Kent Blasey, is kind of Garth's right-hand man. And if anybody knows me, is that Garth was like my guy growing up. And one of the first records I ever owned was the Scarecrow record by him. And he had a couple of songs on there that I just loved that Kent wrote. And I've become good buddies with Kent. And Kent wrote like "If Tomorrow Never Comes" and "Ain't Going Down, The Sun Comes Up" and, you know, "Getting You Home" by, you know, Chris Young, and the list goes on and on.
Any good ones?
Yeah. Well, you know, he would crack up if you heard you say that.
Those are great, man. I mean, and that Garth guy, he did all right too. So
he's okay. Yeah.
I think. Wonder what he's up to today.
I don't know, man. I heard it's selling out stadiums. And
stuff. Yeah, still doing, man. That's I got to see Garth not too long ago. Maybe a year ago now. He came through St. Louis and did like 8 nights and. At the arena and stuff, and like, you know, it's just crazy to think that whatever, 30,000, 40,000 people every night or whatever, or something crazy, and like 8 nights in a row, and or whatever it was. I was just like, that's awesome, man. But
the guy's so high energy, it's insane. Mm-hmm. And he still is.
I mean, to keep it going for that long.
I mean, the show is just, you know, I mean, he sounds great, there's no doubt about that. I mean, you know, he sounds better than he ever did, you know, and. You know, just like he did, but, you know, the energy that he has and then just the sheer passion still for what he does and in the love for the fans is amazing. It's something that I think everyone should strive for. I mean, I love Garth's music and I loved it, but I've always personally loved the man behind the music. He was one that was always special to me, and I hope someday I'll be able to get work with him. Write with him or something.
Sure.
Well, I'm working with a lot of people in his camp, so I guess who knows.
Yeah, tell Clint to hook it up.
I mean, I don't know about that, you know, but maybe someday.
Yeah,
maybe,
for sure.
Kent's done a lot for me and helped me out a lot in Nashville, the scene, and as well as my friend Kent Maxson, who's another guy that's in the Garth camp. I'm very grateful for the people that I've been able to come in contact with and work with.
Definitely, man. Yeah, I think that's, you know, kind of the discussions come up on a lot of them. People moving out of St. Louis and moving, you know, whatever. I got friends that are going to L.A. here in a minute, moving out there with the band. And, like, you know, I've got a lot of singer-songwriter friends that have moved to Nashville and doing this thing. And it's like, I think that's probably one of the biggest perks is just being around to where you can make those connections, make these networking moves and stuff to where you can, because again, everybody, there's, you know, a lot of players that all want to go for the same goal, you know. Yeah. But I think that's the key, is just meeting all these people that can help you get to that spot. And,
that's why you're there. If you want to do this, you got to be there.
Especially that's where everybody else is.
Right. Yeah, that's where you got to be, man. I mean, there's no other place in the world you can go to a bar and bump into Chris Young.
Sure.
Or, you know, or Keith Urban or whoever. You know, I mean, I've ran into a lot of people just in bars and, or, you know, just hanging out, you know.
And they have Edley's.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a barbecue place. Nashville's got great food, so that's a huge advantage. It's probably Tim's favorite part of Nashville, and one of mine too. But you know, it's a cool city, and there's not, you know, I've been a lot of places and traveled a lot of places with music and stuff. And home really is a feeling more than, it's not really a place. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's a feeling that you get. And the only other real place that gave me, like, I like a lot of places, I love a lot of places, but like the places as far as like living there, and being there, Nashville is the place that gave me that same feeling that I get here.
Home is where your best phone charger is.
Oh my gosh.
That's a country song there.
That's a country song if I ever heard it. That's going on the Sam Hunt record.
No, the technology-driven country song I want to write is the song about the farmer whose self-driving truck leaves him.
Wow.
Right.
That's next-level country stuff, guys. That's the future of country music.
Mm-hmm. That's deep, man.
My Tesla done took my dog. I mean, like, you know, I mean, that right there. I mean, that is where it's going.
We'll have it ready by the next time we're on the show.
Yeah. Well, we got it.
But as a guy kind of new to Nashville, do you have advice that you've learned already that for somebody hearing this that maybe wanted thinking about it? Like, is there a do or a don't that...
Just go.
Just do it?
Just go. Because don't wait on it. Don't say, like, I'll go this time or I'll go that time. You want all the time you can get. You know, you want to start going as soon as you can, just building relationships, even if you don't really know what you're doing. The first time me and Tim went to Nashville was a couple of years ago, and we had no idea what we were doing at all.
All we knew was we wanted to go. So
right. I was like, this is where I need to go. And we had opened for a lot of people like that are heavy in the scene and doing up-and-comers, and you know, we had opened for several people here that had done that, like Drew Baldridge and a few other people. And we were like, and I just kind of started asking them, like, you know, if I came down to Nashville, would you, you know, meet up with me or write or whatever? And we got several people that said yes. And Drew was one of those guys that did. I remember we met up with him and just kind of chatted, and he gave us some advice. And, I played an open mic, you know, in a place down there, and just kind of started connecting with people on Facebook and different places too, and kind of just started seeing, you know, just trying to get rights with people and move with people. And Ashley was actually one of those people that we met and gave me the time of day to write, and it turned into something cool. And now it's just, you know, in a really kind of short period of time, it's turned into something really cool, and we're starting to make some cool progress and working with some people. And got next week I got some big meetings for some really big things could possibly be happening. So hopefully we can get something to, you know, take hold and go with. But it's been a long time working, you know, to do that. You know, it takes time. It's not something that will happen right overnight. Like people think, don't give yourself a time limit. Don't say, like, I'm going to give myself 2 years or whatever, or 1 year or whatever it may be. And if nothing happens in between that time, then I'm done, because it's not going to work like that. If you want to do this, then you got to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't go halfway in and go halfway out. Like, I'm back and forth, but I really live in Nashville. Like, you know, I mean, I'm back in Missouri a lot for family stuff, but also really to play shows and supplement my income so that I can go and do the stuff in Nashville.
Well, and it's a close enough commute where you can pull it off. You can you can live in both and make it happen. So
yeah.
Yeah, you're not talking about cross country.
It's, right.
You know, no, I'm fortunate in that. Definitely in that
regard. A few hundred miles, that's all it is. Yeah.
yeah, I'm definitely fortunate in that regard. But so I can kind of continue to do that. But you know, anytime I'm not playing, like out of town, or I'm playing in Missouri, or in Illinois, or wherever it may be, I'm in Nashville and working.
Well, very cool. Well, again, pick up your copy of Flint Hill EP, available at any of Matt's shows, and coming soon.
You can message
soon.
Us, too. Yeah. You can message us on Facebook or, you know, Instagram or, you know, shoot us an email. We have our email on our website, and I can get you a copy, too. If like, for example...
We deliver.
Right. Yeah, sure. if you live, like, in a different state that we're not going to be hitting, you know, for a while or whatever it may be, or country or whatever, doesn't really matter. You know, we can make it happen. We can get one to you.
Sure.
So until it gets on... online, even then, if you want something, we'll sign everyone for you. You know, I mean, we'll do this personal message. We'll make it as personal as we can for you. So,
but no naughty words.
No, I don't. What? I don't know when that was ever a concern, but that's awesome.
Right. Well, you haven't given one to Logan yet, so.
Oh, well, that'll be a different story. That'll be special.
Well, very cool. Well, I appreciate you guys doing this again. Yeah, follow Matt on your Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Keep an eye out for big rollout for the digital release coming soon. And we're going everywhere then, worldwide, all over the web.
Heck yeah, man. So, bring you on tour.
Hell
be great.
Yeah. I'm in. I'll drive the bus.
Oh, yeah, you will.
Yeah, I keep joking. I need to go get my CDL so I can drive the tour bus.
No, I'm not kidding. Like, if you really want to do that, it'd be great.
Let's do it, man. All right. Well, thank you, boys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Anytime. Always a pleasure. We'd love to. Let's make it sooner for the next time we come on.
Yeah,
let's try once a year instead of every other.
For sure.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.